podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
I'm James Beattie.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 233. Proud to be a part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Still no football, but still no problem. Back again with another special and another one that I'm really excited about. Joining us today, we have Dan from the ever popular Saints Brass Band to tell us all about their origins and match day routines. We'll also find out about the rest of the gang. And back with me for this one, I'm pleased to say, is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. And later we have Tim Bazance to prepare us for our hectic promotion play-in, starting with that Middlesbrough game at home on Good Friday. Before that, Mush, how are you? Another year older, actually, since the last time you were on. So happy belated birthday.
Belated, thank you. I'm all right, although this week has been absolutely crazy. So I'm physically and emotionally drained after, but yeah, I'll survive, of course, with March on. But yeah, congratulate you on last week's podcast. It was brilliant, just amazing to listen to, brilliant to hear all about James Beattie and his career. But yeah, just really impressed with just an overall intelligent guy, incredibly intelligent man, and just to hear his perspective on life, he's a funny guy as well. Really good banter between you, and Will Green stepped in. Will Green's on fire.
It was good, and James is an intelligent lad. He seems like he's switched on in every part of his life, doesn't he? And his dad as well was a very wise man, so it was it was great to hear. Hear all about that.
So, sort of, knew him as a very, very intelligent footballer and talented presenter, coach as well. But yeah, just to hear his perspective on life, that was really interesting.
Yeah, I'm just really, really sorry that you missed the chat as well, because it would have been
On the one hand, I was gutted, but Will did a brilliant job.
Yeah, I knew Will would step up to the plate. Because he was a hero of his as well. But yeah, I've had a good week as well. Thanks for asking.
Interested. Didn't get a chance.
No, I had a dentist appointment, so I just normal checkup, and then I had a filling. I needed a filling, so I was like, oh, wonderful. And now, can you think of anything worse than having a needle injected in your gums? Obviously, there are not worse.
In the eye, probably is first one. On the arsehole, it wouldn't be pleasant.
Yeah, okay, but it's just not a pleasant experience, is it? And I was being a proper. Have you never had a filling?
No, nothing like that.
Do you ever go to the dentist?
Yeah, and they say, wow, what wonderful teeth you have. So, I'm quite lucky in that respect. Take good care of them.
I take good care of them. I mean, I'm approaching 40 and I've had my second filling, so I think that's not too bad.
That's not too bad, yeah.
So anyway, before we get into this interview with Saints Brass, we have a few things to discuss. And we shall start with the international scene at the moment, what's going on. So what I'll do is Mush, I'll go down the list of countries and
round them up.
And round them up that way, yeah. Yeehaw! Republic of Ireland, Gavin Bazunu, Will Smallbone in the squad. Manning misses out due to an illness, but interim boss John O'Shea is monitoring him. And they played Belgium on Saturday night and they drew 0-0. So that's a decent result. Will Smallbone, the only Saint to feature. He played 86 minutes, and they are to play Switzerland on Tuesday night in another friendly. Scotland, Stu Armstrong, Shay Adams. They played Netherlands and Northern Ireland at home. But yeah, Netherlands on Friday night, and they got beat 4-0. Not great for the Scots, but both Adams and Armstrong came off the bench in that one. Wales fared a little bit better in their playoff campaign. Still can make it to Euro 24, of course. Euro 2024, of course. Finland in Cardiff, which they won handsomely 4-1. And David Brooks opened the scoring for the Dragons. They now face Poland in the place in Euro 2024 on Tuesday night in that final there. So if they do beat Poland, they enter the group stage of the tournament and they'll be placed in Group D with the Netherlands, Austria and France. That's a real tough group for the Welsh to go into if they are to beat Poland. And speaking of Poland, Jan Bednarek played the full 90 minutes against Estonia, and they went even better than Wales. They went 5-1. And as previously mentioned, they will now face Wales in that final. So that's some David Brooks against Jan Bednarek, Kev, for a place in Euro 2024.
Wow, that's going to be a ding-dong battle, isn't it? I mean, you corrected yourself when you said 24. I'm just more interested in that for a second. You know, Euro 96, yeah? Euro 88 or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, I just...
When do we cross that... Yeah, but when do we cross that boundary? When does it become all right just to say the last bit?
I don't know. Maybe I should have corrected it. It does sound fine. Euro 24. Yeah.
Euro 24. Yeah, I think it's probably the first one that it does. Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Euro 16,
right.
Euro 20. Doesn't sound right. Euro 24. No. I think we're there now, aren't we? We've crossed that boundary.
Okay. We'll do that then. You're not going to get that confused with 1924, so...
Yes.
Northern Ireland, Shay Charles, he played the full 90 minutes in their 1-1 draw in Bucharest against Romania, and he got the assist for Jamie Reid's opener, so that's good. And they've got to play Scotland, as previously mentioned. So yeah, that's it for the internationals. A little bit more news to discuss, Kevin. Joe Lumley signed a new deal.
That third keeper, who's more of a second keeper now, I don't know. I've been thinking about this, right? What is our strategy with keepers if we do get promoted? Because Mac is going to go at the end of his contract. There's no doubt on that at all. Baz is going to be the first choice goalkeeper for the foreseeable future. Yeah. So do we need second keeper with Premiership experience just in case? Or are we happy just to stick with Joe Lumley and Mateusz Liss?
Yeah, I think, as I said, this deal will keep him there until summer 2025 now. So I think it's a good deal. I think we can expect Alex McCarthy to move on at the end of the season. And then we'll be going with Bazunu, Lumley, and then we'll have Liss back. So I think that's a good bit of business. It gets Alex McCarthy's contract off the books. He could still play Premier League football as a backup, I'm sure. Someone will snap him up, or even in the Championship again. I think so. But yeah, I think, yeah, that would be it. It'll be Bazunu, Lumley and Liss, whether or not we go up or not. I think that would be the trio that we go with next season.
And you've got to admit, the prospect of Joe Lumley up against Erling Haaland and the like is going to be, I don't see it personally. I think we might see another keeper if we get promoted.
I think Erling Haaland was licking his lips against any goalkeeper in any division, to be fair. So I don't think there's much you can do about that.
But you know what I mean? Like, facing Premier League opposition, is Joe Lumley a Premier League goalkeeper?
Joe Rothwell. Goal of the month for his Huddersfield goal on the 10th of Feb, and rightly deserved as well. That was a humdinger.
Yeah, he won our goal of the month, didn't he? But we've seen so far this season that Saints have not picked up any plaudits whatsoever for managers, players, yeah, anything. So yeah, good to see him breaking the mould there, and definitely well deserved.
Yes, well said. And Ralf Hasenhüttl, got a new job, new boss at Wolfsburg. He's been out of a job since November 2022. So, yeah, he's got a tough job on his hands, though, because Wolfsburg are currently sitting 14th in Bundesliga. And it's only 18 in there, of course, as well. So they're 7 points off that relegation zone. Only two going down to Bundesliga 2. 8 games left to play, including a trip to Bayern. His first game will be away to Werder Bremen on the 30th of this month. So, yeah, wishing him all the best of luck.
Yeah, it's no secret how much I love Ralf. And I think he was... hard done by. He was set up to fail by the board, not backing him with decent signings. I'm I still, in retrospect, stand by that, because if you think that sacking Ralf Hasenhüttl is the best thing to do and your option to replace him is Nathan Jones and then
Ruben Saez.
Well, yeah, I just wasn't quite sure how to put it. You know, a man who's failing at Reading. Yeah, if you see them as better options than Ralf, I think you've got to question your thinking there. I still would rather have been relegated by Ralf.
Yeah, in retrospect, I agree. But I mean, the club's in a good position with Russell Martin now. So
yeah, but we're in the Championship. That shouldn't be part of the plan.
I think we would have been in the Championship with or without Ralf.
We'll never know, will we? You know, he could have dug us out of it personally. Potentially, would we have blown 20 million on Paul Nalamachu, or would we have actually got someone who Ralf wanted?
Mm, yeah, well, we'll never know, will we?
We'll never know. Yeah.
The EFL have confirmed the playoff dates and times for that playoff schedule, of course. The semi-final first legs will be Sunday the 12th of May and Monday the 13th of May, with the second legs on the Thursday and Friday in that same week. The final will be at Wembley on Sunday the 26th of May. So if we are to finish third, then we take on sixth place away on the Sunday and then at home on the Thursday. Kev, make sure you book your tickets for back home. So we need to be at that Wembley final on Sunday the 26th of May. Yeah?
Back off. We're winning the league.
Okay.
I don't know why we're talking about this. We're going to win the league.
And speaking of the league, our final game against Leeds on Saturday the 4th of May has a new kickoff time of 12:30. I think Tim's actually in the country for that, and I think he's planning on making that trip to Bell End Road. So that'd be good for him to go and see us win the league at Leeds.
Yes, exactly.
I just want to mention that the Saints Foundation Day on the last game that we played against Sunderland has raised over £23,000, which was excellent. Extra donations, obviously, on programme sales. They had bucket collecting, and Sportsbet gave up their shirt sponsor, of course. And let's not forget that the players themselves making sizable donations. So that's good stuff. So £23,000 raised is excellent for one day's work. A little bit of news off the field. Adam Armstrong, his wife is expecting their second child, which is fantastic news. Actually, Shay Adams has said that he's clinical on and off the pitch, so that was nice.
Is that what he really said?
That's what he said, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, congratulations. Maybe if he gets a third one, he can keep the match ball.
I've got that.
Yeah. What did you get for it?
I got nothing but 13 Insomnia. Years of... Yeah, 13 years of insomnia and arguments, but yeah. Right, yes, okay, so I think now it's time to bring on our special guest. Shall we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Right then, let's bring in our special guest this week. He can be found entertaining the crowds with his 11-piece brass band at St Mary's, warming up the crowd whatever the weather. It gives me enormous pleasure to welcome in Dan from Saints Brass. Dan, welcome along.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
I'm very excited about this one because, this has been a long time in the making, hasn't it, Kev? So we're going to discuss the origin story of Saints Brass, really, and put names to the faces and, you know, talk about your rehearsals, talk about your match day routines and... Yeah, and then also at the end, we'll hopefully get some thoughts on the team this year.
Fantastic. That sounds great.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to start off by asking, what instrument is it that you play in the band?
Opinions will vary amongst the band members, but I do play saxophone. But most of the time, they think I just muck about, but yeah, I play saxophone.
Yeah, I mean, about the origins of the band. When did it start? And yeah, who was it that started it? And
it's a really interesting story, and actually... kind of a quirky story as well. I'm a Saints fan. I have been, you know, all my life, as they say, you know, Saints fan all my life.
Sorry
and
for that.
Well, I mean, you know, if you grow up in the city, you don't really have a choice, do you? So I'm from Southampton, and I used to go to the Dale, obviously at St Mary's now. This club, at the beginning of the 2016 season, kind of in the summer, just before Claude Puel took over, we're looking for a band. And I've got a friend who used to work at the club, and he knew that I was a musician, and he also knew that I was a Saints fan. So he passed my name on to the director of marketing at the time, and they said, they gave me a phone call. And the phone call went like this. The phone call was, do you know any bands in the area who brass bands in the area who would be interested in coming to play brass band music, but we don't really want brass band music. And I was like, mm. And then they said, and we'd quite like them to be a marching band, but we don't really want it to be a marching band. And so what they described was, I had no idea what they wanted. So this is about 3-4 weeks before kickoff of the first game, right? I think that was a Watford game we played back in those days in the Premier League. And anyway, I kind of phoned a couple of people. I had no idea what I was talking about. And then I left it there and I thought, oh, well, no one's got back to me. They can't be serious. Anyway, a week before the game, the guy phones me back and said, how are we getting on? I was like, oh, it's great. Yeah, I've got a band. No worries. And then I phoned. So I work as a session musician. So I phoned a whole load of other session musicians who are in the city from the city. Some of them live in London now. And I was like, listen, can you do me a favor? I need to put a band together for the club. Is that all right? And they were like, great. So we turned up on 4 hours before the kickoff on the match day before Watford on the first game of the season, 2016, and had no real idea what we were doing. We had some clobber the club gave us, so we all wore that. And we played a few tunes, and it was meant to be, effectively we got booked for one game, and then it became two games. A bit like session musicians do. We generally get booked to do bespoke things, and then that's that. And then to our complete surprise, and genuinely complete surprise, it seemed to go down all right. And so we ended up playing outside by the Ted Bates statue for the whole season. And it was really booked on a game-by-game basis. I would ring up to say, do you need a band for next week? And they'd be like, yeah, why not? So that was the first incarnation of the band.
The pay-as-you-play model.
Exactly, but it wasn't, you know, I mean, it was pretty chaotic at first, not least because, we were testing the thing out. There was I can tell you a couple of stories about things that happened, which were completely bonkers. And no one, you know, it was just a lot of fun. And we continue to this day we're not actually an official part of the club in that sense. We're kind of affiliated to, I suppose, kind of third party is the best way to do it. But because we're all, you know, we're all invested in the community here, we really take it seriously. Something that we deeply care about is making sure that we represent the city. I'll come back to that later. But that's how it all started. And now those 13, as it was people, we're now on 11, but those 13 people who first started, most of them still do it. There's a couple who've had to leave because they've moved, but it's been a long ride through lots of different fun events.
So if you want to get back up to a 13 piece, I'm sure me and Kev could play the tambourine or something. We could just do
a brilliant. Take some maracas.
Do a bez, yeah.
You actually don't know what you're letting yourselves in for. I mean, the thing is it sounds glamorous, but when you've got sideways rain, wind with sand coming at you from the cement factory, you know, it's
goodness me. Yeah, so, you really do play in all the weathers, don't you? Yeah, I can
love
imagine.
It. There was one time we turned up when it was in snow. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a Boxing Day or something like that. Later on. And we turned up ready to play, and we were all outside playing. They called the game off about an hour before because there was snow. So
I think...
Yeah.
Didn't you get a cup of tea?
It was, well, I think Nathan Redmond didn't fancy it, was what it was. But
yeah.
Sorry, that's not true. That's not true.
That's
fine. Never did fancy it, to be sure.
Oh, no, Kevin.
Oh, here we go, sorry.
I'm not really the one that's defending him. But
I know.
Just went from...
We love Nathan Redmond. We still do. So who do you have in the band right now?
So in the band, we've got 11 players. There are, we have three drummers or percussionists. It depends on what they play. But we got, because obviously you can't take a drum kit around. So we have to, like a full drum kit gets broken into three different people. So we've got three drummers. We've got a couple of trombone players. We've got a couple of saxophone players. One's like a low bassy sax, and the other one's the one I play, which is kind of middly one. Three trumpet players. And then this incredible instrument called a sousaphone, which is, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's the one that you wear.
Exactly, the one they wear, right.
It's sort of a bass tuba kind of thing.
Bass tuba, exactly. It's normally played by tuba players, and it just plays the bass. And it is heavy, and it does catch the wind. It's an acquired taste.
So you're an 11 piece. What formation?
We are. Well, generally we play with three up top. two behind, sitting in 3-2-3-3 generally. We're quite attacking like that. Yeah, the wing backs can tuck in if necessary.
Brilliant. Are you all Saints fans, or do you have like any closet fans in there?
No, God no, Christ! What are you saying?
I'm not wearing that red and white stripe.
Oh my God, no, no. I mean, we've got one lad who's a Saints fan who lives just past Pompey, and he has to get on the train to the gig. And there's been like this joke about, oh yeah, you must turn up in the Saints kit every time.
Oh, no.
So we have got like they're all the vast majority of them are from the city. There was one or two who left, as I said, but it's one of the interesting things is if you ever catch us on a match day, round about I don't know, say kickoffs at 3, round about 2 o'clock, we're always checking our phones to see what the lineup is. You'll see us all on our phones round about 2 o'clock, see who's made the team.
Oh, we do that too.
Yeah, but we're meant to be working. I've just given that away.
Get someone to pass you a team sheet at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, well, we don't get any privileged information.
I mean, since the start, is there anybody that's been there from 2016 right the way up until now?
Yep, absolutely. Actually, to be honest, it depends on the cold. A couple of them, we lost a couple to weather, obviously, but yes is the answer. The vast majority, I think we've only had 3 out of the original 13, maybe 4, but definitely only 3 who've actually not continued. Well, obviously, like, there are, circumstances where we bring in subs, right? So in the music world, we call them deputies, but in Saints brass, we call them subs. So we got our subs who've come in.
Makes sense.
Right, of course, because they need to know the system, right? They can't just come in. They need to be, we've got a playbook. So,
a Saints Brass B?
Saints Brass playbook. Saints Brass playbook, obviously, it goes all the way to the academy. we've got three people that have changed over, including the sousaphone player, is fairly new. He's been doing it 3 seasons now. So the vast majority have been there since day one. So, Seen it and done it, basically.
That's excellent. That's a good thing not to have
it's loyalty. Tournament.
Yeah, so, that's it. Yeah,
you've got to learn to kiss the badge more and all that.
So you must have met and chatted to some real legends from the club, and you played in the presence of St Mary's royalty, really. And we've seen the pics with Dean Hammond, with James Beattie, Marianne Spacey Cow. But do you have any favourite memories, or does anyone stand out to you?
So, to be honest, and I always say this, and people think I'd just say it just because I'm being nice, but that everybody at Saints is lovely. And one of the things that, because as a long-term fan, it sounds ridiculous when you say you don't really think past the players. But we knew there was a club there because obviously everything happens. But when you meet everyone at the club, the staff at the club, it's such a lovely environment. It really is a really great place to be. And we don't really meet the top dogs, but the kind of day-to-day people have always been amazing. And then on top of that, you see why all the ex-players come back and love being there, because there's a real feeling of it is community, camaraderie. Do you know what I mean? And it feels like people appreciate that. It's not just like, oh, here's a free ticket, come along because you once played with us. So, and then talking of like the ex-players, they always give their time up, like always. And, one of the things I notice is interestingly, we've seen like really famous ex-players from other teams literally run past the Ted Bates statue and stuff like that to avoid other fans, right? This is I'm not going to name names, but these are famous people who've been given tickets by the other club who will literally try and avoid the fans to get into the stadium to do it. Whereas you got people like Matt Letiz or Beats or Franny who'll take about half an hour to 45 minutes to walk that thing, because they just they stop and talk to everyone, including us. Everyone's lovely, and for me personally, I was kind of grew up with certain people, but it's been really, really great to meet some of those players, and also like a highlight for me, although I was too young, a highlight for me was getting to meet Laurie. So wonderful chap he was.
I've met him before as well.
What a great human being. So
actually, do you remember Carl Anker? When he was working down here for the Athletic and doing his piece, I used to go past the Ted Bates statue when you guys were playing all the time, and Carl Anker would be there every week, and he'd just be sat there or stood there with a massive smile on his face, and he every single week he's just sat there. He used to listen to you, and he looked like he really enjoyed it. So yeah, everybody loves you.
Oh well, it's genuinely very nice, and we never take this stuff for granted. Because you know, I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but it's true. It's like no one turns up at a football match to listen to music. certainly no one turns up at a football match to listen to brass bands. You know, it's like I remember in the old days at the Dell where you had the Albion band and stuff like that, and they were great fun, but you were there for the football. So
yeah,
we if people enjoy it, we're just monumentally proud because it's and also proud to be part of us, you know, the whole community. So. Yeah, thank you.
On a match day, I mean, it would be strange not having you there. And I think it sort of helps everyone get G'd up for the match, you know, especially last season, we definitely needed
it. Not going to comment.
we kind of needed you guys at full time as well, really, to send the fans away happier.
With the funeral procession, maybe. You
know. Not going to comment on that. It's a totally different podcast. But do you know what? Again, it's such a privilege for us. I mean, we do what we're asked to do by the club. We have a little bit of a say, but most of the time the guys running it have a surprisingly good idea. I suppose they've got all their data from all their forms and stuff, but they also understand, you know, especially at the moment, they seem to understand like that if something's working, not to mess with it too much. But yeah, you know, these, and I actually have a lot of time for them because they're all the people behind all these kind of match day stuff. Not only are they experts in events and stuff like that, but they're having to satisfy so many different people at the same time. It must be, you know, as a musician, right? Do you know what I mean? As a musician, you always got people being subjective about stuff. Can you imagine working within that place and you do entertainment and football? Everyone has an opinion on both. So it's the craziest thing to do.
I want to ask you if there have been any hilarious mishaps on the match.
Oh, so many. I mean, there's so many. I don't even know where to start. But one of my favourites, actually, quite early days, and when it was the chaotic years, there were a couple of years where it was settling in. And even when I say this story, I can't quite believe it's true. We got asked to go round the stadium like one time before a game. It was an evening game. And they didn't mic us up, so no one could hear us. We kind of walked past. Every time we walked past a bunch of people playing, they sort of heard us and then turned round. But obviously in a 32,000-seat stadium, you can't really hear. Even a loud band like us, you can't hear everywhere. So they were quite surprised. People are looking at us. Anyway, we're walking around doing it, and we're getting up to the Itchen going towards the dugout. And suddenly the linesman's running at us, or the assistant referee, and they're running straight at us. And we're like, what's going on? Turns out the director of marketing had got the wrong kickoff time, right? So he told us the wrong kickoff time. He thought we'd be clear, right, at this point, oh, you know, God. 5-10 minutes we go. So suddenly the game's about to start, and we hadn't realized because we're making a noise looking at the crowd, right? The game, for some reason or other, instead of being like, I don't know, 7:45, was like 7:35 or something. It's a silly time, but he should have known this. So we're all like jumping the barriers. The guy with the sousaphone, the big thing, he couldn't get over the barrier because it's so big. So we're pulling him over, and we ended up in the Itchen with all the fans trying to get out of the stadium. So that was, you know, that's just one, and that's not necessarily that's not necessarily the most bonkers one, but some of them are probably, you know, state secrets. So, but yeah, that's an example.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Well, the reason I want to know about the mishaps and stuff is because it doesn't look like I've been going for a while and I've never seen you make any mistakes. So,
it's very nice of you. Very good at covering them, I think.
I want to talk about rehearsals as well. Like, I'm guessing you guys have to meet up quite regularly for practice and stuff. How often do you get to do that?
Not as much as we'd like, actually, is my tactical answer here. Partly because the guys, because they're all session musicians, they're so busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have people in the band who are on tour with people like, I don't know, Rag and Bowman and people like that. So they're, you know, the top players. So getting them to be in the same place at the same time is tough. But we do have to do, I mean, well, every now and again, we'll have to get into the stadium to really run through some stuff. Like when we were doing the kind of working out the pre-match walk and all that kind of stuff, the pitch thing, that took a few days of just getting stuff right, making sure we're timing it properly. And also the tech behind that was crazy as well, as you can imagine. So, yeah, it's not it's not as regular as we'd like it to be, but enough to make sure that we don't screw up, I think, is that's probably the best way to talk about it.
Yeah, you did mention your match day routine. So, yeah, could you talk us through it?
Oh, yeah, cool. So it's changed from that first time where we got there 4 hours early to 3 hours early. So we'll turn up. So say the game's the 3 o'clock kickoff, right? So, and if anyone's ever been there that early, I don't know. Well, there are some coffee places around there.
Christ, no, I turn up at about 10 to 3.
Well, that's where I totally agree. See, this is, as a fan, I used to turn up at that time. So I didn't actually know that there was a time, any time before 10 to 3, right? I didn't realise that. And then it turns out it was. So we turn up about 3 hours before. We all meet outside just the Itching Corner, you know, where the Turnstile 1, I think it is, around there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we go there. And then we go into the stadium because we've got to leave all our cases and gear and stuff and get changed. And we go into the stadium and then we'll have to do a sound check to make sure everything's working. So probably about, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes after we've got everything ready, we'll go and do a sound check. Sometimes you can hear it if you're hanging around. If you've got like corporate tickets, I know they go in early. You might be able to hear us rehearse. Then after that, we'll do at least 2 hours outside the front playing lots of music. About 20 minutes before kickoff, we then go inside the stadium and get all hooked up with all the tech to be able to go and do either the pitch walk or whatever else we're going to do to play a bit of Owen the Saints. And we're out by 3 o'clock. Well, most of the time. I know the people next to me where I sit in the Itching, they're very, very nice people. They put up with me getting in. Because obviously I have to put my instrument back, pack everything down, and then I'll try and run around the stadium to get back in there to watch the game. So I'm always about 10 minutes late. And this year I've missed about 20 goals.
I bet you missed the Leicester game. We were down.
Yeah, loads of games. I was wondering, what was the last game we played at home? I missed a goal on that.
Sunderland.
As well. Yeah, Stewie Armstrong scored, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fairly early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty irritating. Anyway, what can we do?
It's the best of both worlds, I think. You get to see a lot of the football. You get to do your thing. So, yeah, it's...
Well, this is it. We get to see another side of the whole club that most people don't. And we're very, very privileged like that, definitely.
Well, I used to actually work at the stadium as well, so I used to see a lot of behind-the-scenes.
Oh,
I did, yeah, a long time ago. I actually met my wife there, so...
Cool.
Something I wanted to ask as well, you've got your set list and stuff outside the stadium,
yeah.
I'm sure of that, but do you actually take requests, or can you take requests?
We sort of do. The answer is it's difficult with 11 people, obviously, because like we've got close on 90 tunes, I think, now that we...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got loads and loads now, some Christmas things and stuff like that. But actually, one of the things we definitely do, and this has been a big thing for us, is we try and play as many versions of Southampton-based music that we can. So artists definitely. Bit of Craig David, yeah. But we've done like Band of Skulls is a local rock band who they've made good, and and obviously we do like Wollstone Ferry. Good to be back in Southampton. We had one going of the Bells of St. Mary's for Christmas, but for some reason it didn't happen. I can't remember why. But anyway, that kind of thing, because, you know, again, we feel... I know other clubs do bands as well, but my understanding is what they do is they kind of just hire a band in. We want to be part of the community. We want to be representing the community. So we do take what we play seriously as well. You know, we're not... You wouldn't hear us playing Pompey Chimes, for instance.
Oh, God.
But bit
of Spandau Ballet this season?
Maybe it's in the works, actually. It's just turning it around, but it might, you know, things like that. But we're also, you know, in terms of requests, yeah, we can have a go at anything because these guys are great. But it's just like, because we have these kind of fairly elaborate arrangements, we go there. But we do requests. We did The Darkness for someone the other day who said, "Can you do it? It's my birthday." So yeah, I did some of that.
Oh, there we go. So at the Middlesbrough game, I'm going to approach you about an hour before kickoff.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put my request in. I'm joking.
What requests have you got?
I don't know. Can we have? Something?
I was wondering if you could manage to master a puppet for Metallica.
Oh, amazing! we do Enter Sandman. I don't know if that's any help.
Oh wow!
Oh, that would do. Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna come up to you and request that on Good Friday. Yeah.
Done.
I just want to hear the guitar solo.
yeah. This is it. Yeah. Feel free to play it.
Yeah, once you've done the match before kickoff, yeah, I mean, do you all go back to your seats and watch the match?
It depends. I mean, you know, I won't say we all do, because a lot of these guys are working musicians, so often when it's a weekend, they've got to get to another gig. So whilst they are Saints fans, they're working, so quite a few of them will be literally jumping in the car and driving to Manchester or somewhere. So wow. To be honest, I mean, we are paid to do what we do. So obviously, we're not volunteering to spend 3 hours in the rain. My view very much is, like, I think if we did have season tickets, I know at least 50% of the band each week would probably have to go to work afterwards. So it seems like a bit of a waste of us having those tickets. I always look at places like Wembley when there's like half empty because the corporate people have turned up. What we do is, if we need tickets, we ask for them in advance, and then we'll pay for them or whatever. But we're all right. But I've got a season ticket, and a couple of the guys go very regularly. They have season tickets, but I'll go to a lot. So yeah,
that's great. We don't get a chance to watch the women play. Well, I don't as much as I'd like, but I know a couple of people I work with have got season tickets to the women's game, and they say that the there's always like someone that stays behind, actually the drummer that stays behind, and
occasionally. I mean, we're involved in all that kind of stuff. One of the things we're trying to do is so especially, you know, one of the ideas I have is to bring more young people through the band, and I think that would be a good, you know, that's a good way to do it. It's like have things like that, so that is something that we're involved in. The drum actually is owned by the club. It's this big old drum that's left on top of the fertilizer for the grass, so it smells quite a bit. It's in the south tunnel.
That's great. Giggle.
Yeah, and when there was that fire, the other week, when we went past it, it was covered in ash. So. There was a layer of stuff on it. So, but then they did such a good job. I mean, kudos to everyone at the club turning it around from that Wednesday fire to was it Saturday? Wasn't it the game? It's just it was incredible how they did that. And you know, given like the telltale signs, like the kind of bits that we saw, what they must have done to get the stadium ready was insane, I imagine. But
they
anyway.
Were still putting it out when we were walking to the match.
We went, didn't we? Yeah. We went to the game.
Oh, no, it was still burning the week after, apparently. Yeah, the fan zone got... I think it just got very, very dirty, but we don't know, you know, I'm not giving out anything you might not have heard, but... I think the fan zone was just, you know, they just took the decision not to use it because of safety, obviously. The women's games we really enjoy as well. It's a different atmosphere because there's more families. But the, you know, the girls are great, and they're playing really well at the moment. That last game against Reading,
yeah,
really
amazing.
Some really cracking goals in that. So yeah.
I'm James Beattie, and you're listening to In That Number.
Okay, Dan, I just want to get your thoughts on this season, really. It has been positive, and it's... I think any other season, and we probably would be bossing the league. It just so happens that the teams above us have been exceptional too, and it's making for a really intense finish. And we know we've got a busy month, and we've got 10 games in, 36 days or something stupid like that. So it's going to be a team effort. And I think if we can all stay healthy... And surely we have a real chance of automatic promotion. Or do you feel that we have to go through the playoffs now?
Oh, well, so, I mean, there's so much to that question. First, my first thing is that I'm old enough to remember the last time we were in the championship and spent a bit of time in the championship. And this time, I feel it's very different. And as you said initially, I mean, it's bonkers. The numbers, you know, the points that the other teams are getting, it's just crazy. And they're really good sides. I mean, they're really, really good sides. They're not just talking about sides that are playing well. Like Leeds look great. Leicester obviously played great. Ipswich, I mean, they're doing an us,
incredible,
except they're not.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what they were. You know, they came up from League One. And they looked great, and I never thought I'd see the day where we'd sit and watch. What was it, 25, 26 games unbeaten for Saints?
25,
I
mean,
you know, these are crazy statistics, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. I really have. I've really enjoyed this season. I've you know, there's lots of reasons why, but the main one I think is just a bit more excitement. And that goes both ways, by the way, you know, the excitement of thinking you're going to win and then not. But Yeah, it feels like a Saints season this year, which is difficult to explain to anyone who's not a Saints supporter. But it's that thing of like Saints as an idea. I've been sort of, you know, supporting Saints for years, and they always never quite know what they're going to do next. It's not consistent.
It's just never dull.
It's never dull being a Saints fan, right? And it's a cliche, but it's absolutely true. I think there's I don't think I've enjoyed the season so much as the first season where we played when we were doing the Europa League, and there was you know, we had all Inter and people like that playing. So this has been a great year. Don't get me wrong. I hope we go up. I don't want to stay in the Championship. And the reason I don't want to stay in the Championship is because I now have friends who work at the club as staff. And I'm sure they're not thinking of sacking people, but I do worry about the finances in football. I think they're completely, I mean, a broken record to most fans, right? But football finance is broken. I don't want Southampton to become a part of that, because although we are a one city team, there are plenty of examples of teams that are, you know, same size, if not bigger than us, in bigger cities, really, really, really struggling to keep the team going because of the issues with finance. So that's, you know, I don't want people losing their jobs. And I said
Leeds struggled, didn't they, when they went down?
Sunderland. Coventry.
Coventry.
I mean, think about Coventry and their stadium and all of that. So, there's all sorts of points where we need to be aware of that. In terms of the end of this year, I don't know. I'm a typical Saints fan in this. It's like, I tell you what, if you said playoffs day one, I would have bitten your hand off.
Me too, yeah.
But it's like this optimism in me, which is coupled with a complete cynicism for everything else. It's a typical Saints fan. So I think we'll probably end up in this playoffs. But if you'd said to me that to finish the league, you have to pay people above you. And if you win, you go up. I mean, who wouldn't take that?
Absolutely.
And the games in hand thing, I mean, there's an argument to say, yes, I'll be tired, blah, blah, blah. But also, like, if a team's playing regularly together, they work together better. That's why Ipswich did so well. They hit the ground running because they came up from League One, all playing with each other, all knowing what was going on, hit the ground running. And so it's that thing. Can we keep people fit? The most important players in the team, unfortunately, this year did get injured, which I think stunted our progress a bit. Not, you know, obviously the defeats as well. But when you lose Flynn Downs, when you lose Kyle Walker-Peters, you're going to be struggling because they are such important players. But keep them fit. I mean, it's going to be a roller coaster. That's all I know.
Yeah. We're in for a hell of an April, and it's not going to be stopping now. It's just going to be, nonstop.
I mean, this Russell Martin era that's just started, I mean, we've seen the board has backed him with some good players coming in, though most of them on loan, to be fair. But he's got this distinctive style of football that, sort of, especially when we weren't playing so well at the beginning of the season, and, you know, recently a few weeks back when we had those dodgy losses against Middlesbrough and Hull, when the fans start booing them at half time. But yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you've got sort of backwards, sideways football. on the other hand, we're seeing a lot of goals this season. So yeah, I mean, what do you make of Martin Ball?
Martin Ball, Russ Ball. Yeah, I think it's very rare that a manager doesn't bring in a new style. I do. It does make me giggle because every time we've had a new manager, there's always been a new start and a new style. Even with our famous Welsh man, who managed to change the style fairly quickly. I mean, people that argue how good it was, but yeah.
But the
style was changed. So I don't think bringing a new style was necessarily anything we didn't expect. It always makes me giggle when people think it won't happen. It's very difficult not to. I mean, there's a couple of things about Russell Martin that I really like. First of all, he's obviously very loyal, and he seems to back his people, and his people are us at the moment, and I appreciate that. It's a stark contrast to the Welshman, who just was all about himself, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing, which I really like about him, is this is what I know from the club, is that he cares about people in the whole of the football club. So he seems to be going around making, you know, people talk about him really highly, And I've seen him walk the corridors, as they say, and he'll stop and he'll chat to people and he'll try and remember everybody's name. And there's a real feeling of like we're in it together. And I'm hoping that because of that, it means that this is, you know, potentially a more successful season than it could have been. That's what my hope is that there really is a feeling of it being pulled together. It's not just playing staff, well, maybe 11 or 15 on the, you know, around the game and everyone else. It feels like everybody's working really, really hard to help things happen. In terms of the style, I don't really know what to say. I mean, about 10 years ago, I realized I didn't understand football anymore, and I've been watching it for 40, playing it for a very long time. But, you know, it's so complex now. It's so complex. This whole idea of, like, that it could be brought down into like tiny, you know, it's everything in football now is micro rather than a macro. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember the days of hoofing up to Colin Clark and getting a knockdown, you know, or give it to Letiz. Like, give it to Letiz was basically a tactic for a season, right?
So, that was Alan Ball's tactic, that, I think, wasn't it?
Right, exactly. That makes me so happy. I'll think of that year. But anyway, the tactics now, I don't pretend to understand like I used to, because it's in the same way that people really don't understand music in the way that a professional musician does. I don't think you can understand football in the way in which a professional footballer does. But when it goes well, I'm really enjoying this. And I'm very much of that. So I grew up in the Chris Nicol era, which was like, you know, they'd score five, we'd score six. You know, and I think this is... I know it's a worry, because obviously we need to worry about conceding goals, but it's so exciting to see that philosophy. I don't know if it's a philosophy, but accidental philosophy back out again, where, you know, you never quite know how many goals are going to be scored in the game. And hopefully we've scored more of them.
So yeah, it's kind of like the Huddersfield game and the Birmingham game recently as well. Right. The 5-3, the 5-4, or the 4-3, sorry. Yeah, it's just... it's crazy, but yeah, we're enjoying
that
it.
That Huddersfield game, like, I don't think I felt that roller coaster of emotions like ever to that extent in a match. It was just brilliant.
It was quite bonkers. It was very,
God, okay. So we've got, now Mason Holgate's gone. So we've got five lonely players: Flynn Downs, Taylor Harwood-Bellis, Joe Rothwell, Ryan Fraser, and David Brooks. If you had to sign just one of them permanently, who would you take?
That's so difficult. Well, I know. I mean, the thing is centre backs are gold dust. So straight away, it would be Taylor Harwood-Bellis. But Flynn Downs, do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Morgan Schneiderlin. And I loved watching Morgan Schneiderlin. I thought he was right. And it was really strange, because when he came to Saints, no one could really understand why we signed him. And within about six games, we realised why we'd signed him. I'm always surprised he didn't do better elsewhere. I thought he was total class. Taylor Harwood, about it. I mean, centre-back who can... A ball-playing centre-back who reads the game. What is he? Is he 20? 19? 20?
20,
he's young, isn't he?
Mm.
I mean, come on. He's got 10 years at least at the very top level. Absolutely, he's going to be... Yeah.
He's going to be a captain as well at somewhere.
Well, he should be a captain. You know, he acts like a captain. But,
actually, I'll tell you what, he's 22.
Oh, was he really? Only 8 years at the top level then. You know, but I mean, even if we get two or three more seasons out of him before he signs for, I don't know, Barcelona or whatever, he would probably be my pick, simply because it's that spine. I mean, what we probably need to do is reframe the question to, if you were to sign Taylor Hardwood-Bellis and Flynn Downs, would you do it? And my answer would be yes. So there we are. Although Ryan Fraser's been great. And David Brooks looks good as well, right? And Rothwell. Yeah.
Rothwell's got a goal in him.
Yeah, it's a good option.
He's got two goals in him at all times.
One of which is hopefully a stunning volley. So
yeah, he just got goal of the month for that as well. So hopefully goal of the season. Right, I think that's about it. But before we let you go, so we've got Middlesbrough coming up. Can we get a quick score prediction from you?
I don't know is the answer. My score predictions are rubbish.
Me too.
I don't know if I want to ruin the programme by doing that.
About it. Don't worry.
I think we'll concede. Wait a minute. Is Carl Walker-Peters back?
And Ryan Fraser's back as well.
Right. So depending on who we start with, which is always the gamble with Saints, I'm going to go for a 3-1 to Saints. And then you're going to remind me of why that was wrong.
Well, I'm going 2-1 if that helps. But yeah,
right.
Kev, I need yours as well, mate.
Oh, let's go 2-0.
Brilliant. Right. Yeah, excellent. Thanks for coming on, Dan. It's been great.
Absolutely welcome. Yeah, thanks so much for having me and Saints Brass on. And I want to say a big thank you to all the Saints fans and Saints communities who is just so lovely about us. It really is a privilege to do this, and we didn't think we'd last nearly as long as we did. And thanks so much for all your support, and fingers crossed for a really great run in towards the end of the season.
Excellent. So, yeah. Brilliant. And please, can you march in front of the Itchin?
Only if we don't have to jump over the stand because of the lino coming towards us. That's the thing.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, now it's time to start our promotion running. We are non-stop now. This is it. We need to be ready for this demanding schedule. And we'll take it one game at a time. I guess it's the only way you can do it. So let's start with this Good Friday fixture against a red-hot Middlesbrough from St Mary's. And joining me is the returning Tim Bazance. Tim, it's really, really good to hear your voice again. I hope you're well. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a fantastic and wonderful St. Patrick's Day worth of weather, and then all of a sudden we got 4 inches of snow a couple days after that. So that is Chicago for you. We're finishing up second winter right now, or third winter at least. And now we're back to it, and really excited for this run in. 10 games in 36 days. Is that the magic number?
That's it.
It's a 3-point. So, I mean, taking a look at that, we've got the depth, but there's just that's a lot. It's a lot of games.
We have the depth right now, don't we? But God forbid we have an injury to any more key players. I know we've got Kyle Walker-Peters coming back for the Borough game. We've got Ryan Fraser coming back also. But if we get any key injuries to players like Taylor Harwood-Bellis or Flynn Downs in this stretch, goodness me, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's a coin flip, because I think Downs is definitely going to get injured, because the way that it just seems to be, he's always eating something stupid, or he's got some magical knot that nobody wants to share any details about.
Yeah, and it's about management, game management as well from Russell Martin as well, isn't it? Managing these players, and it's tough. It's going to be very, very tough. But yes, anyway, so let's get to this game. Good Friday, the 29th of March. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, and it's from St Mary's. I say red hot Middlesbrough. I mean, currently they're 10th in the Championship, but considering where they were the last time we played them to where they are now, Michael Carrick is turning them around, and their form is back to what it was last season, really, because they've won 3 of their last 4, and they've only conceded once in that time. So could be a bad time to be playing there, Tim. Let's not forget the last time that we did play them, because we were 1-0 up at the Riverside, only to go down 2-1. That was the last defeat before we started our amazing record-breaking run. So, I mean, this could be a bad time for them to be playing us also, because, I mean, we scored 4 against Birmingham, we scored 4 against Sunderland, but we cannot afford any more slip-ups down this stretch, if we just said. So can we keep this up?
I think when it comes off the international break, and then on top of the fact that we got the Leicester game postponed, it's a magical reset, because you really don't know what type of momentum you're going to be able to carry. Are you going to be able to say, everything is just fine, we're going to keep on scoring 2, 3, 4 goals? Or are we going to restart and you don't know what's going to happen? So to me, can they take that international break momentum? We'll see what happens, because when they drew Blackburn 0-0 recently, they beat Birmingham 1-0, they beat QPR 2-0. Those are the last 3 games. They haven't, not only have they let 1 goal in the last 4 games, they've let in 0 goals in the last 3 games. And even though they let in the 1 goal, they still beat Norwich, and they beat 2 teams that are pushing in promotion, or trying to get not promotion, but just try to stay out of relegation, in QPR and Birmingham. So to me, they're currently sitting in 10th place with positive goal difference. And while they've had that up and down season, and I'm pretty sure when we played them, they were in the relegation spots.
They were bottom, I think.
They kicked on and really found that comfortableness. And Michael Carrick's done a decent job to right the ship, and they've made some really good additions this past January window. So when they took a look at it, Finizaz, I'm going to probably butcher his name, but he was on loan at Plymouth.
Finizaz. Yeah, you're right.
So he was on loan at Plymouth, and he scored, you know, almost 10 goals there while he was playing for Plymouth, and he looked fantastic and great. And then just congrats to him. He just got an Ireland call-up for the first time. You know, during the January window, Villa took him back and then sold him to Middlesbrough. So then they also signed Luke Thomas on loan, who's a promising young left back, and then Luke Ayling, who's the shithouser we've known him as for the last decade at Leeds. So, taking a look at all those factors, they've got like the right January additions to fuel and make themselves comfortable. And then players like Isaiah Jones, Matt Clark, Lucas Engel, are really kind of coming into their own this season. And then I just love the name Paddy Kinnear. Even though he's been all right this season, he's had, stats show that he's a little bit of a down season compared to the last couple of years. I still think it's funny. It's just very Irish to me, of the name. You can't have a more Irish name than that.
Paddy McNair, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. So, you know, I want this international break to come off and say they aren't really even looking ahead. I want them to be like, okay, I want them to feel like they're in a lull and they're in a comfort zone that says, we're in mid-table, we are not going to get promoted. We're not going to be able to get a push for the playoff spots. And I think they're not going to get relegated too. I think they're really, really in that comfortable mentality. And I want them to feel that way because I want them to come off and be like, oh no, we have to take a long trip down to the South Coast. And I want them to be overlook it. And I want them to not take it as serious as it is, because, you know, Russell Martin is in there, you know, doing some sort of, you know, crazy voodoo shit that's going to say, hey, we've got 10 games in 36 days. We can do this. He's going to, you know, do whatever he can to motivate him. His Buddhist mentality of like, oh, it's okay. And then he'll pump everybody up to do it. I want Michael Carrick to have the opposite mentality. So taking a look, considering all those things, can we beat them? Yeah, we can definitely beat them, but it's the crapshoot that is coming off. Almost 2 weeks off during the season, which is practically unheard of.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's they could overlook us, and that could be a good thing. And I agree with you in the sense that there is no way that Russell Martin's going to let them slip. They know what they have to do. They know this run-in is crucial now. Not only that, the players know as well, don't they? It's going to be massive. Every single game, you've got to treat this like it's a playoff final. But Middlesbrough, yeah, I think where they finished last season, what were they, third or fourth last season in the Championship? Whatever happens now, it's going to be considered a disappointing season because of that bad start that they had. But I think you're right. I think we are better than them, and I think we should have enough to beat them. It's whether we will or not. So I'm going to go into the predictions, and I'm up first actually for this one. So I think, right, if you have Saints at their best and Middlesbrough at their best, then we have too much for them. And like I said, Russell Martin's going to be relentless. The players know. So I think I think they get our best, but I still think it's going to be a tight one, and I think we come out 2-1 winners. And Kevin is actually going for a 2-0 Saints win. Clean sheet at home. That would be lovely. Tim, what about you? What are you doing?
So they finished fourth last season and did a really, really good job. Yeah, with the plus 28 goal difference in the season, where right now they're only at plus one with 10 games remaining. To me, we have to basically be perfect. We have to win everything in order to be considered for those automatic promotion spots. And this is the start of it. Whether or not we actually accomplish it, I don't know. And the odds are not in favor to be able to get those automatic promotion spot. But I think we'll have a good start. I think we will continue on. And I think that it won't be easy. There will be some rocky points where we'll feel uneasy. during it. But I do think we're going to come out 3-2 winners.
Wow. More goals at St. Mary's then. We've been seeing a lot of them lately. But I mean, I don't care. I don't, honestly, at this point, Tim, I don't care how many goals we concede as long as we score more. I just think we can, we just need the points on the board. So I will definitely take that entertainment and take a 3-2 win. That is about it this week. And I know, Tim, that we've got really, really hectic schedule coming up. So starting from next Sunday after the Middlesbrough game, we're going to have the Blackburn game, the Ipswich game, and just non-stop. So you're going to be very, very busy. I hope you are ready for it.
Absolutely. And I hope the Easter Bunny brings us a belated gift of a win away at Ipswich, because when that happens, you're going to get a lot of talk. You're going to get a lot of media conversation. It's going to be a very nerve-wracking end to the season.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. But it all starts here. So, until next time, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Thank you for listening to In That Number.
Sports Social Podcast Network.